Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank.
And I'm Reba Hass of Team Reba.
And we want to give you an update on interest rates, and we're going to jump in with our guest.
Yes.
So here's where we're at today. So far, a little bit of downward pressure on rates this week. Not going to be much change from this point forward, my guess is, until Thursday, after we hear what the European Central Bank has to do. And if they make a tapering announcement, it could put a bit of upward pressure on interest rates. So next couple days wouldn't be a bad day to consider locking in your rate. So today, 30-year fixed rate conforming rates across the country, national average today is 3.56%. So still
outstanding,
extremely good. 15-year fixed rates are averaging 2.87. FHA 30-year fixed rates are averaging 3.4%. And jumbo 30-year fixed rates averaging 3.72%.
Oh, wow.
Do you know you can get a jumbo loan with 10% down up to $1.5 million with no mortgage insurance?
Really?
Yeah, there's some crazy stuff out there in the jumbo world.
That is very interesting. You know, I just, do you ever do that Help a Reporter Out program? So
no.
Just this morning, one of the reporters who's on there was asking whether or not experts could come on or answer some questions about PMI.
Oh, yeah.
And they were looking for like best practices or tips and tricks and things like that.
Yeah.
And what programs, you know, do or don't have it. That would
right.
be like
yeah,
a
totally.
Perfect one to answer. Maybe I should forward that email to you. Maybe you could send that over to him.
Because yeah,
no, I did not know at 10% down on a jumbo, of all things.
Right.
Does that make you nervous though when you start seeing that?
Oh, absolutely.
Because I'm looking at Mike nodding his head right now.
Yeah, Mike's just like
that makes me
his
nervous.
Eyes are rolling and smoke's coming out of
do
his
tell.
Ears. Yeah, yeah.
I've advised a lot of people not to do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That was around 2007.
I was going to say, it kind of reminds me.
August 2nd, 2007, to
right,
be exact.
Right around then.
Yeah, I would say August 4th, but it's there where things went
over
the edge.
Well,
so that does make me a little nervous when those programs come back out.
There are some definite safeguards for programs like that, but the main one is that to get a loan like that, you do have to prove that you have a year's worth of mortgage payments and savings.
Okay.
So that's either going to be in, it can be in a retirement account. That's okay. As long as you can get to it, but we want to see it, liquid that you can get to it if you have to. So
then, how can it be in a retirement account?
Well, because retirement accounts, you can pull that money out if you need to,
in an emergency,
depending on the circuit, but depending on the plan, depending on the program. But most 401k accounts, you can borrow that money, in which case you're paying back yourself, or you can withdraw it. It's called a hardship withdrawal. I don't know what kind of hardship is buying a $1.5 million house, but you can. And so most of these jumbo programs will have some very strict requirements on credit and on housing history to make sure that you have a good history paying rent or whatever your current housing expense is, and that you've got liquidity. We call it PCL, post-closing liquidity.
Yeah, I think they need to get CYA, but okay.
Well,
I kind of prefer those initials.
Yeah, absolutely. But there are circumstances where that type of loan can make sense for customer, depending. Maybe they've got a home, they haven't sold it yet, or they've got a windfall of cash
totally
coming their way
that.
Down the road.
I get that. It's
that
just
happens.
I can think of people that had loans really similar to that, and it was like that.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
Because they were qualifying people based on their assets,
right?
But you're saying it's assets plus
liquidity,
liquidity,
right.
But payment.
But I'll tell you what, though,
they still have to have the ability to repay.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
So they're very strict.
There were people qualifying before that didn't have the ATR.
Right. Yeah, they had all of the those loans back in 06, 05, 04, 03 were stated income loans where you didn't even document the income, and they put 10% down.
Right. Which is probably why Mike was over there like, no, please.
Yeah, some of these they're very, very tightly managed with debt to income ratio requirements, payment histories, things like that.
Okay, well, I'm
but
happy to hear
that would be helpful, but still.
Oh, I know. But you see what's happening here, Mike, is the pendulum swinging.
Right.
So we were the loosest we ever were in 06 in lending guidelines. And then we went through a major crisis. The guidelines tightened down to the point that
you might have
the,
heard of it.
The tightest that we've ever been.
Right.
And now the economy's, a little bit better, and things are starting to loosen back up. But guess what? You can go back 200 years in this country and see the exact
same cycles. Yeah.
Yeah, I went through the same one in 1987, FIREA, Financial Institutions Reform, Recovery, and Enforcement Act in 1989.
Yeah, even the late 1800s, you saw similar kinds of things that were going on.
But that's right.
Housing market's just a little bit different since then, just because most of the time back then you didn't have the same lending.
Well, usually it was a speculative bubble that was fired up by irresponsible lending practices.
Surprise!
if you really want to get right down to it, that's sort of what the history is. So
appraisals that were not accurate.
Absolutely.
True.
And this time around, it feels like the appraisers at least have some sense.
Well, and in fact,
they got slapped around pretty hard.
They absolutely did, and there was a law passed a few years ago, the appraiser independence law, which has done two things. Number one, it's definitely tightened up the quality. The amount of reporting and information appraiser has to put into a report now is easily four times what it was 5 years ago.
Right,
and that's also caused a problem. That there's severe shortage of appraisers in our market. 5 years ago, we had over 5,000 appraisers in our local area here. We have about 2,200 right now. The average age of the appraiser, you're looking at them, even older than
62.
Me. No, I'm not that old, but
you're
right.
Here
it is. It's in the 60s. It's in the 60s. And the problem is the barriers of entry into that business are so high that for a new appraiser to come in, they have to have 2,000 hours of apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. And the senior appraiser has to go on the inspections.
And I hear that's relatively like low pay or...
For a fraction of the pay.
Right.
And then for the appraisers now, they're so busy that, number one, they don't have time to take on an apprentice. And number two, they don't want the future competition.
Right.
So we're just really struggling with that as an industry now. So,
well, it's unfortunate.
Unintended consequences of a well-intentioned.
I know. Here you are bringing up.
I totally agree.
Yeah. You're bringing up what you thought was a really great program, and all like, jump on top of it, guys.
All right. But Mike, I'm really glad that you're here right now, and really we've got some good questions for you. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm an attorney at a law firm called Helsel Fetterman. Pardon me?
I said don't hold him against
me. Right? Before that, I had my own firm for about 20 years, and then I worked in-house for the Seattle King County Realtors for about 10 years, too.
Got it. Yeah.
So this is how I met Mike.
Got it. And so you've been working real estate law for over 30 years then, it sounds like.
I had hair when I started in real estate.
He was just a baby then.
Yeah, that's right. And you, tell us about your specialties.
I have a couple specialties. Transactions, residential and commercial. I do a lot of land use work as well. Mm-hmm. And lately, for whatever reason, I've come up with a bunch of waterfront issues, which is why I'm here.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
I actually took his class. So he offers credit hour courses through the Association of Realtors. And you taught the class what brokers need to know about waterfront property, which... One of the reasons I decided to go and attend that class is because I have the Certified Luxury Home Marketing designation. And for me, waterfront property completely fits, in most cases, within kind of the luxury market, right? Because most of those on, whether it's lakefront, oceanfront, out on Puget Sound, most of the time, the price point falls into that category. Mm-hmm. Not always, but most of the time. So it was good for me to go and kind of bone up on anything that might be affecting that. Plus, there's all of the different environmental aspects that are really starting to affect waterfront property nowadays. I mean, like in the 1960s, we had the Shoreline Act or so, right?
Right, 1971.
And so that has just kind of morphed and changed over time, and it's affecting things more and more.
Well, it's grown teeth and fangs and all kinds of stuff. So what's your take on that? Mike, where are we going with all of that?
Well, let me just tell you in general, it's not getting any simpler to own waterfront property and want to do something with it. The laws are just incredibly complicated. Even the title can be very confusing. Some land you on some waterfront property you own the submerged land, on others you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You have to read a detailed legal description to figure that out. It's never clear what your boundaries are in the water. There are 18 different measurements for what the outer boundary would be. The side boundaries.
Yeah, it was like a math class at times.
Exactly.
In the course.
Well, right.
The side boundaries can depend on whether it's a cove or a point.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's just title.
Yeah.
Then there's the regulatory scheme, and you know the regulations are super tight and getting tighter by the year. It's if you want to put a dock or a buoy up or a bulkhead or something like that. You better have, what were you calling it, price plus liquidity?
There you go. You're going to need some post-closing liquidity.
You're going to need some pre-permit liquidity to get through the process.
Well, and you're talking about like boundaries. I have waterfront property over in Mason County. It's on Hood Canal. And my tidelands are Class A. I do own the tidelands down to the lubber line. Or the low mean tide, right?
Right.
And what the heck is the low mean tide? You know, I don't have any clue what that actually means.
Well, nobody really does because it's based on the 18.3 year lunar cycle, and you will have a surveyor come and survey that boundary, and they'll say one thing, and someone else will have another surveyor, and they will say another thing because. It's a very complicated calculation. If you're in a dispute, it's up to the judge really to decide. It's very complicated.
Well, of course, for waterfront also, if you go to Oregon, for instance, everyone has a right of way,
right?
You know, on the land, they can go out in front of your house and dig clams or whatever they want to do. Not so here, right?
Well, that's true. Some parts, it depends. If you own the aquatic land, I'm referring to the submerged part of your land. If you own it, you can exclude people. If not, then it's public.
Yeah.
Because there's parts of West Seattle where there's public across, isn't there?
It's a patchwork. It depends on when the first person bought the land from the state, which takes a title search to figure that out.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. It's
very, very complicated rule, and that's going to have, and like you say, when you're thinking about building a place, that's what's going to really complicate some things. Mike, when we come back, we have to run into a break here, but we'd like to learn a little bit more about this, and we might pepper you with a few more questions. Stay tuned.
Sure.
We're going to be talking waterfront law with Mike Spence. Stay tuned for more with Open House with Team Reba.
Open House with Team Reba will be right back.